Well, it is a Monday of Thanksgiving week. Votes are approaching that will determine the future of Michigan energy policies. For months, legislators have been debating energy efficiency, renewables, and consumer choice in the electric market. Sam Singh is playing a key role in the energy legislation being considered in the Michigan House of Representatives as a member of that body's Energy Policy Committee. Sam is playing a key role in proposals that will soon be subject to more deliberation. The freshman Democrat and former East Lansing City Councilman and Mayor says he's pleased with the measures currently being debated on the House floor. We welcome Sam Singh back to Current State officially. You told me late last week that you and the other Democrats are generally pleased with the proposals that came out of your committee, House Energy Policy, a couple of weeks ago that will be taken up more seriously here by the full House soon. The Republicans obviously enjoy a majority on all these committees now. Is the House about to debate a measure that is really a bipartisan thing?
Well, I hope so. Technically, I'm not on the committee, though I've spent so much time on it, I feel like I'm on the committee itself. But we've been taking a look at revisions to a 2008 act that was a bipartisan act that helped create our current energy system that we have right now with a 10% choice cap, 10% renewable energy, as well as a 1% a year energy efficiency mandate. And so as we've been having those conversations, House Democrats and House Republicans have been trying to see if there's a way that we can build that same coalition that was here in 2008 and pass something. And I was pleased that at least on the committee level, it came out of the committee with significant support with both Republican and Democratic supporters.
And you've been working with Eric Nesbitt on this pretty closely. Is that it?
I have for the last few weeks. Eric Nesbitt and I are close. As you know, Eric is the floor leader for the Republicans. I'm the floor leader for the Democrats. And so we often will talk about things that are coming up on the floor and negotiate a number of items. And so I was pleased to join him and my colleague Bill Lavoie, who's the vice chair of the Energy Policy Committee, to have these conversations. And I'm pleased with where we're at. I will tell you, though, not all my colleagues are satisfied with where we're at. I know there's some environmental groups that have been critical of where we're at, but I think knowing the environment that we are in, with Republicans running, both the House, Senate, and the governorship, that I think we're in a good place to find common ground with our Republican colleagues.
Well, let's talk a little bit about each of the big pieces of these energy bills. And there are two in the House and two in the Senate. In the House, it's HB 4297 and 4298. I know one big piece is energy efficiency. How would these bills, broadly speaking, in layperson's terms, if possible, how would these bills address energy efficiency?
One of the great hallmarks of the 2008 law was this 1% a year requiring the public utilities that we work with, the DTEs of the world, the Consumers Energy, also our BWL, to work on energy efficiencies. So they work with the homeowner to make their home more energy efficient. They work with the business to make it more energy efficient. And right now they're mandated to do 1%. In the conversations we've been having right now, a critical stumbling block for my colleagues on the other side of the aisle is mandates on business. And so what we've been discussing is more incentive-based, is that you could work towards an incentive that a utility won't see any benefit if they don't reach a minimum of 1%. So they'll actually begin to see some incentive financially to have a 1%. But we also then raise that all the way up to 3%. I had introduced a bill to try to get it to 2%. And so right now, I think the compromise is that there's a range from 1% to 3%. It's not a mandate as the Democrats would want, but it's a financial incentive program that I think gets us to the same place. And so that's why I was pleased with where we've gone in energy efficiency. And just so far since 2009 and since we've enacted this legislation, we've actually saved $3.4 billion through energy efficiency. And the Public Service Commission, who does the research on this, says for every dollar that we invest in energy efficiency, the consumer itself saves anywhere from $3 to $4 in unused energy costs. Mm. And so this is a really big victory for us. It's something that the governor has talked very extensively about in his goals, is to try to reduce energy waste, as he calls it.
State Rep. Sam Singh of East Lansing is our guest here on WKAR's Current State. Is the 1% to 3% range, that would apply to businesses only?
So it applies to the utility themselves. It gives them a financial incentive as they hit these benchmarks to do more energy efficiency. And so it does help the residential customer, and it also helps the business customer. But in the end, it's not an incentive for the individual at their homes. It's an incentive to move the utility itself to doing more of these programs. Because the long-term goal is if we can reduce the amount of energy that we use, we don't have to be building more plants. And those are highly intensive, highly costly. And so if we can reduce our energy by having more efficient homes, by having more efficient businesses, we can save a lot of money long-term.
Another big piece of these is renewables. Describe what's in play there.
So again, right now we have a 10% renewable standard. One of the conversations early on by my Republican colleagues was to completely eliminate that. I thought that that was not the most responsible way, but I was pleased that I think as Republicans took a look at it, they saw that this would have a significant impact. There's a number of contracts that are currently in place right now with utilities to get to this 10% renewable standard. As the president and the EPA have rolled out their clean energy plan, it is going to require our utilities to do more in renewable because we have to get off of our coal-based power plants. And so what this does basically is continue that 10% that we have currently right now. And there is some language there that if you get a combination of energy efficiency as well as renewables, that the goal is to hit at least the minimum that the governor had asked for, which was 30% by 2025. The governor also suggested that we could go as high as 40%. And so my hope is that we'll see through this language a combination of more renewables as well as more energy efficiency, not by a mandate, but by incentives.
Mm. And right now, 10% of Michigan electricity customers can choose what utility they buy their juice from. Talk to us about this market choice piece.
Yeah, that was part of a compromise in 2008. We had deregulated our utility system back in the early 2000s. And as part of coming back to a more regulated system, the debate at that time was to, and the compromise at that time was to provide 10% energy choice. And we're currently at that 10%. There are a number of businesses that are in the queue waiting to get lined up. So if a business decides to leave the energy choice program, then the next business sort of comes in. Democrats had been pushing forward to reduce that 10% to a smaller number because we do believe having a fully regulated system is ideal. But based on the conversations and having to compromise in this type of environment, currently right now the legislation still keeps the 10% cap, and it keeps those organizations and businesses that are in that queue still in lineup for that energy choice. So to some degree, you're not going to see a significant change if the bills that are currently being debated on the House floor move forward. I think we'll see a 10% choice remaining there, and that's the compromise that I think many of us have had to make to kind of move this process forward.
Democratic State Rep Sam Singh of East Lansing, 69th District, is our guest here on WKAR's Current State. One more question involving renewables. Was there interest in the legislature in lowering that 10%, or is everybody on both sides of the aisle generally content with 10%, or was there pressure to lower that?
There was actually a proposal on the Senate side that actually repealed the entire renewable energy mandate. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, to go back to keeping a status quo, but then putting kind of incentive language in, I don't want to get too technical with your listeners, but there'll be an IRP planning process that the Public Service Commission will go into. And so if you provide incentives for the utilities, I think you can get more renewables. They're going to be mandated to some degree to do it anyways by the new EPA rules and regulations. And so I'm comfortable moving forward, but I can tell you I've got a number of Democratic colleagues as well as, you know, some environmental organizations who want this legislation to go further than it did.
There is a torrent of TV advertising flooding the state, and these are from the Citizens for Michigan's Energy Future. I'd like to listen to one of these. They're going to be real familiar to anyone who watches any television at all, and have you deconstruct it for us here. Let's listen.
Time is ticking. First, we found out 9 Michigan power plants would shut down due to old age and environmental laws. Now, new reports say in just 5 years, 25 Michigan generating units serving over 2 million people will have shut down. It takes 4 years to build plants to replace the electricity lost. We need to act now on a plan that puts Michigan first. If we don't act, D.C. will decide for us. Call your legislator now.
Now, these raise concerns about the closure of the 19 Michigan coal-fired power plants, which is happening. Are these spots in support of the two House bills, or can you help us understand what's going on here?
Yeah, I think the answer is yes and no. I think to some degree, it's basically saying, let's get this done now, and trying to put pressure on the legislature to take action here in the month of December and try to make sure that the right policies are being developed. I don't know who specifically. There's a set of commercials that are being done by the utilities. There's a set of commercials being done by choice advocates and so forth. But I think the sense of these commercials is let's try to solve this problem here in Michigan, and let's try to put our Michigan touch on it. And that's the pressure. I think the fear that it almost tries to create is that, hey, we're being forced to close these plants, and if we don't act now, there's danger ahead of us. And that's not true at all. You can talk to any of the utilities. They've been already planning these phase-outs of these coal power plants for years. There's a plan on how to replace them. Much of their plants have natural gas as the secondary place for it. So, to me, I think it's just a point to try to put pressure on the legislature to resolve this and resolve it quickly. And I think we're ready to do that.
But where are the utilities? Where is Consumers and where is DTE on 4297 and 4298?
Well, I don't know where they are specifically on it. I would say that, they've been, as I've had conversations with them, I think they've been pleased with what has come out of the committee. And really now the question is, a lot of times amendments will happen on the floor. And so depending on what those amendments are on the floor, I know there's a number of people who want to strengthen the choice language. I've got Democratic colleagues who want to take a look at a number of items, including more renewable energy language in there. And so I think depending on where that ends up, I think they'll have some and they might continue supporting this, or they might have some concerns. But I think as of right now, my sense was as it came out of committee that they were okay with it, even though I think it pushed them on a number of issues like energy efficiency more so than they wanted to.
Will there be a significant debate or action on either of these before the end of the year, or will it be 2016 before we see anything?
Well, again, the 2008 law does come to a close to some degree at the end of this year, so there's been a push to try to get it done. We will for sure, I think, have it out of the House in some way or fashion. The question is how quickly does the Senate want to deal with this? They've been having hearings all spring and summer, so they might be ready to quickly react to our proposals, but they also might want to take some time and look at this in January or February. So it's really going to be, I think, on the Senate to see how quickly we get to resolution.
The approach Michigan and the country should take regarding more Syrian refugees has sparked disagreement. Governor Snyder called for a pause for Michigan, and other mostly Republican governors responded with similar kinds of cautionary measures. Where are you on this?
Well, I was surprised by the governor's response. I've been very supportive of the governor's immigration policies to date. So I was surprised to see him, make a statement that didn't try to educate the public here in Michigan. As we know, taking in refugees is a very extensive process. It often takes anywhere from 2 to 3 years to get refugee status. And it's not only the country, the U.S. government involved in the Department of National Security, it's also the U.N. And so to so quickly dismiss the program and not realize that whatever he decided here was going to be part of a national narrative. And knowing that his party, especially led by, Donald Trump in the debates, talking about wanting to register Muslims, that other people are talking about only accepting certain religious backgrounds of refugees, such as only Christians only, to somehow think that his decision to pause this would not be part of a national and international narrative, I think was naive on his part and the people that influence his decisions.
Sam Singh is the Democrat representing Michigan's 69th district, which includes East Lansing. We've been talking primarily about Michigan's energy future and the energy legislation currently in the House and the Senate, but about other measures as well. Sam, good to see you. Happy Thanksgiving.
Happy Thanksgiving to you, too.